Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Pulling it out, it all falls down. I'm telling you, it all falls down. Pulling it out.
Y'all can't handle the truth.
I'm telling you,
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Corinthians 1 and 12. Now this I say, that every one of you said, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? In this so-called Christian world, where there are so many different Christian sects, men and their doctrines are being exalted and not Christ and his doctrine. The book of Matthew speaks of this, Matthew 15:9. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Mm-hmm. This scripture also shows us that worshiping God by the commandments of men is in vain. We welcome you to join us as we discuss this issue and the importance of exalting Christ and his true doctrine that lead to eternal life.
No doubt. It's beautiful to be back, too. Thank you for tuning in, and we welcome you to the next, show that we're about to go into now. Is Christ divided? In so many words, just like he read, what he read speaks for itself, but we're going to definitely go more in depth and detail on what the brother brought out about is Christ divided. We know, those that's in Christ know, the true Christ, All right, according to the doctrine, we know that Christ isn't divided, but the world as a whole, Christ is divided in so many shapes and forms. And we'll probably do a couple of parts to this because there's so many different angles to really come from dealing with this topic. Because we have so many different religion sets out there, not just to pick on Christianity as a whole, but we have Israelite sets out here, a lot of different sets, that they themselves say they believe in Christ, but the way they teach and, their actions is not of Christ. So Lord's will, we'll get to bring some of these points out and explain in detail that they're not of Christ. Because a lot of people are naive and gullible, and just because an individual may say, they're of Christ, and the individual brings out scriptures about Jesus Christ, a lot of people just melt in their hands or melt in their arms, or their heart or whatever the case may be, and just give right into whatever a brother or sister may be saying about Christ. But when you really research what they're really saying and you really pay attention to what the scriptures say, you'll see that they're not of Christ. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we're basically going to go into today. You want to add anything?
Yeah, sure. To add on to what the brother was saying, is, not saying that we are so great or better than anybody, because we're just men, and the scripture said all come short of the glory of God. So we're nothing, but we thank the Most High for the understanding he has given us through his Holy Spirit. And the things we understand in the scriptures, it's clear to see that the world is not teaching the understanding of Christ, and that, there's so many different sets. And as we look around these different doctrines, which we do examine, we do take the time to check out what other people are saying and examine the different doctrines that are out there. And we definitely take the time to read the scriptures. And it's clear that a lot of things that's being said in the different religious sets is not going according to scriptures, and that's what we're supposed to do. Matter of fact, let me hit the scripture real quick. This is, here we go. Go to 1 John.
All right, cool.
1 John, the 4th chapter.
All right, 1 John, chapter 4.
Yeah, verse 1.
All right, verse 1. And it reads, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world.
So that's clear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what the scriptures is telling us. It's telling us to believe not every spirit. I mean, everybody that's saying that they're of God or that's saying they're of Christ, are we supposed to just automatically, oh, man, you're of Christ? I'm sorry, Christ, bless you and hug them and accept them and, you know, and listen to whatever they say and say, oh, yeah, that, you know, all praises.
Yeah, and just agree to everything.
Exactly. So when the scripture said, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit,
mm-hmm.
whether they be of God. So the way we're going to try the spirit
exactly,
is by the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what it tells us also in the scriptures, try the spirit by the spirit, which is going into the scriptures and mm-hmm. seeing if what they're saying is according to scriptures and see if what they're doing is according to scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we're going to know, is it of Christ? Because if it's supposed to be of Christ, it's supposed to be according to scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And also, another thing we want to show you is that if you're dealing with Christ, the understanding is coming through the Holy Spirit, and if you're dealing with the Holy Spirit, you're supposed to be exalting Christ, not exalting man.
Exactly.
And that's something else we you know, Lord's will, we're going to go into.
Let's go to Matthew's, man. I want to add to that as we might as well lay it down now. Go to Matthew chapter 24. Yeah. Yeah, I want to hit that now. Because a lot of people out here really don't. See, a lot of people swear up and down, you know what? I love my pastor. You know what I'm saying? We don't go more in detail because that's what we're really talking about. A lot of this has to do with your pastor. A lot of this has to do with your teacher, your spiritual advisor, you know, whatever you want to call them, you know what I mean? You have to really make sure that they're of God, you know what I mean? The true God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what we're really trying to show people out here, all right? So Matthew chapter 24, just read verse 5 first. We're going to read that.
For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many.
Yeah, so this scripture itself is telling you, listen, many people... This is Jesus Christ speaking. He's saying many people are going to come in my name, right? Many. Saying I am Christ and shall deceive many. So we understand it's several different ways to break that down to really explain it. Because there are some people out here that think they are Christ. And there's a lot of people that say that. But we know for the most part, a lot of people are saying that, you know what I believe in and the church I go to, I'm my pastor, we are of Christ. You know what I'm saying? So what we believe and what we teach is of Christ. You know what I mean? So you got some churches that might promote homosexuality, right? But is that of Christ?
No.
No, but they mention in Christ's name. You got people worshiping on Sunday. They say the Sabbath day has changed from Friday night to Saturday night to Sunday. And they got a picture of an image of a white man, right, with stringy hair looking like a hippie as Christ. And saying that this is of Christ. Just showing you a couple of examples of what these people really do out here. And then put Christmas, the Christmas tree, the gifts, the Easter, the Thanksgiving. And they add all this into Christ's name. But when we examine the scriptures, that's a false Christ.
Yeah.
That's a false image. That's a false. Everything behind it is false. False. Everything. And then we got all the pagan roots behind it. How the heathen attach their pagan traditions and rites and ceremonies and put it in the name of Christ. But see, a lot of people can't go past their pastor. Their pastor so deep. All right? They're just so in love and enticed by words of their pastor that the hell with what the true word of God is really saying. And they get caught up in the hype, brother, and they're walking in the false doctrine.
I want to back up that scripture
mm-hmm.
with another one, 2 Corinthians 10.
Mm-hmm.
because it kind of adds on to what you're saying. 2 Corinthians 10:4.
All right, cool. Second Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare, that's the one?
2 Corinthians 11:4.
Second Corinthians 11:4. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him.
And that's the whole thing. That's why the first scripture we read in 1 John 4, where it talks about try the spirit, by the spirit, whether it be of God, because the scriptures warn us that a false Christ is coming. Now over here it warns us that he that come and preach another Jesus. So this, if it's another Jesus, it's not the same Jesus of this Bible.
That's right.
So how are we gonna know? By going back to the Bible and examine is what's coming out according to the Bible. Then it goes, when we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit,
that's right.
Why we read, try the spirit, whether it be of God. Because if the Bible's telling you that it's coming out with another spirit, meaning another doctrine dealing with Christ. And it says, which ye have not received, or another gospel. So what they, like what you just mentioned, everything they bring it out is not in the Bible. It's not in the gospel of Christ. Christmas is not in the gospel of Christ. Sunday worship isn't in the gospel of Christ.
No.
Or people telling you that, yeah, we're teaching Christ, but the white man is the problem. Is that the gospel of Christ? Did Christ come and say it was the white man?
And then you got a lot of people want to blame it on, it's the white man, put the spotlight on the white man to take it off of them, the lust inside them, what they really need to get rid of, because Christ spoke repentance, brother. Got nothing to do with no darn white man.
You said it was a spiritual warfare.
But
when you say it's the white man and you're girding yourself up for war, you're making it into a physical warfare.
Exactly.
Because the Bible says the weapons of our warfare is not carnal, but spiritual. Because we have to deal with ourselves. Because we always say this, and, you know, it's never going to get old, because that's one of the main issues we see out here is that, you know, we're Israelites. Yeah, true, we're Israelites, but we knew we were Israelites when we fell. So the knowledge of not knowing we were Israelites wasn't the problem why we fell and went into captivity and went into the darkness, into the condition we are, is because we did not deal with each other righteously. We didn't deal with ourselves. We didn't serve the Most High how he wanted to be served. We didn't keep his commandments. We were dealing with idolatry. We were dealing with fornication. We was dealing with hatred and variance and dealing with the works of the flesh that the scripture speaks about. So if we say we're dealing with Christ, these are the issues that Christ came and showed us that we have to deal with. What was the beginning of Christ's gospel? Repent ye and believe in the gospel.
That's right. We keep reading, right? Oh, no. Where we at? No, you stop.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, okay.
No,
that's why we're there. Oh, okay.
Okay,
okay, good. All right. Just jump down anyway, since you were there. Go to actually, read verse 3 with it. Let's read verse 3, and then I'll jump down.
But I fear lest by any means, as a certain begot Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Yeah, because this is what Satan's job is to do. To take you out of the true spirit of Jesus Christ, the true understanding. His job is to do what? Trick you like he tricked Eve.
Yeah.
Because God already told Adam and Eve what they were supposed to do and what they're not supposed to do. And what do? The opposite.
Mm-hmm.
All right? The simplicity is what? The obedience, right?
Absolutely.
The things we're supposed to follow in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, we want to do the opposite. Why? Because our lust is telling us to do the opposite. But God told us not to eat from that tree, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yet, Eve took it upon herself to eat from it anyway, right? So what happened? And Adam ate it. So what? One follows Satan. The other one is like, the other one follows suit and follows Satan. So the whole point is, this is what Satan's trying to do, stop us from following him. The word of God is no different than what happened in the time of Adam and Eve. It's still the word of God. It's his word. If he tells us not to do it, don't do it. So if he says we can't eat pork, guess what? We can't eat pork. But here comes Satan through other people. Just like we always say, oh, in that time it was a little different. They didn't have refrigerators. Remember, we say that all the time. This is what a lot of people say. Oh, in that time it was different. Oh, in our time now, the food is clean. It's what's it's not what go inside a man, defile a man, and all this other stuff they say, right? And they run with it, but they don't really understand what the scriptures is really saying. Because it's a doctrine of men, because Satan is coming in, tricking your mind to make you believe to go against the word of God. So he's going to make you believe that it's okay to be a homosexual. He's going to make you to believe it's okay to sell drugs. He's going to give you a way to make you feel like you have an excuse to commit fornication. Your wife is getting on your nerves. Your husband's getting on your nerves. Right? Mm-hmm. So he makes you feel like it's okay. And then you end up giving into that thought and you do it. No different than King David when he's seen Bathsheba, right?
Yeah.
She's married to another man, but he fell in love with her beauty, right? Mm-hmm. Then plotted, killed Uriah, right? Took his wife, but the thought came in his mind first and he acted on it. That's what Satan's going to do. But the word of God told him what? We're not supposed to commit fornication. We're not supposed to commit adultery. We're not supposed to commit murder. But that's what David did. And so, you know, just to explain in detail, because that's the tricks that Satan is going to do. And now, according to the scriptures, jump down to verse 13.
All right, this is 2 Corinthians 11 and 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ.
Yeah, they're transforming themselves to the apostles of Christ because they're saying they're of Christ. Like Christ said, some are going to come in my name and deceive many. So some is going to say, you know what, I believe in Jesus Christ, but yet one man's marrying another man. So they're going to deceive you. You know, Friday night, Saturday night is no longer the Sabbath day, but it's Sunday. They're going to deceive you. You see what I'm saying? The prosperity doctrine, they're coming in Christ's name. They're going to deceive you. Why? Because they're plotting because they want your money.
Yeah.
But they're coming in Christ's name, though. And this is why it's so important to realize and identify with what it is. And you just finished talking about we always talk about the Israelite groups out here, the Black Hebrew Israelites, where they're out here teaching hatred. They're teaching it's okay to commit fornication. They're teaching it's okay to hate the white man and to talk about the white man's the devil when the devil's inside of them. You know, this is the doctrine they teach. So a lot of people are taking heed of that doctrine. A lot of people are taking heed to it because they ain't really teaching repentance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Once repentance come out, then they don't want to deal with the scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Read on, though. Verse 14.
And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
Well, yeah, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And this scripture is heavy because this is what Satan does. Because we understand, according to the heathen traditions, all right, the other nations, they were serving their God in ways that now Christianity served their God. We talked about it earlier, about Christmas. That was a time where the heathens cut up a tree, decked it with silver and gold in honor of their God. But now Christianity adopted it, because Satan himself has transformed into the angel of light. So he made you think that Christ was born on December 25th, right? But really, the heathen already had a God, which was the sun God, that was born on that day. So what did he do? He transformed into the angel of light to make you believe that that is so. And this is what's going on in a lot of our so-called followers of Christ movements out here. You have something?
No.
Okay. So read on. Read verse 15.
Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
Yeah, because they're not righteous, and their works are not righteous, and their teachings are not righteous. But they're going to transform and make it appear that they are the disciples of Christ. That's why Christ is saying, you know what, many is going to come in my name and tell you I am of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to find out, you know what? Was Christ born on December 25th? Let me check the scriptures out and find it. But you can't find it. That means, you know what? You need to check yourself. Because is your so-called pastor transformed into what? The minister of Satan? But transform into the minister of light because he really is of Satan, but he's going to transform and make you believe that he is of Christ. All right? And allow the teachings that's out there you're following, and you don't even realize that you're serving Satan. So you get offended once we tell you you are, but now we got to break it down the way we are now so you could examine yourself to find out, is Christ in you?
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there teaching the scriptures, and just like we were saying earlier, just because somebody has the scriptures in their hands don't mean that they have understanding of the word.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we have many examples in the scriptures of people who was holding the Bible, like the Pharisees and the scribes.
Yeah.
Christ said they sat in Moses' seat. When you read, I believe, what, Matthew 16 chapter, he's talking about they sit in Moses' seat.
23.
Yeah, 23. But in the 16th chapter,
mm-hmm.
he says that he tells the disciples to beware of their doctrine. Wait a minute, they got the Bible. What do you mean beware of their doctrine?
Yeah.
He said beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And when you check out what he was saying was beware of their doctrine. They didn't understand. But when he broke it down to them, he was saying beware of their doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though they had the Bible, the understanding wasn't given to them. They didn't have the understanding.
Exactly.
You know, matter of fact, I'm going to go into the scripture that we went on in the Sabbath, and this is a scripture I've been hitting a lot, but it really hits this point. I'm going to bring it out again.
All right.
You know, because I think it needs to be brought out, which is Isaiah 29.
All right.
Yeah, hit it again.
Isaiah chapter 29. I think you usually start at verse 9. But
Let's start at 9 again.
Yeah. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 9. Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink.
And we know in Peter's, it talks about be sober, be vigilant.
Mm-hmm.
Because your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour.
Mm-hmm.
But when the scripture is telling us to be sober and be vigilant, it's telling us to stay focusing on the words of the Bible, the words of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But right here it says that the people are not focused. You know what I'm saying? They're not focused. So Satan is easy. It's easy for them. Satan to devour the people.
Yeah.
But the question is, why are they not focused? Why are they drunk? All right, you know.
Verse 10: For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep. And have closed your eyes, the prophets and your rulers, the seers have he covered. And the vision of all is becoming to you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed.
So the Bible, the words of the Bible is sealed.
Mm-hmm.
Even men that's very well educated, like even when we read about the Pharisees, they were well educated. But at that time, did they understand the scriptures? Obviously not, because they didn't even understand that the Son of God was right there before them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't have that understanding. They didn't understand that they were supposed to love their brothers. You know what I'm saying? They was all about money. And they didn't even understand the Sabbath, what the Sabbath was all about.
Yeah.
You know, they were more concerned with judging.
Mm-hmm.
And even when we look at the world right now, we see a lot of people holding the Bible, but the understanding of Christ is not coming out.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are holding the Bible and they still bringing forth the understanding of Moses, when the understanding of Moses, or greater than Moses, came.
Exactly.
And brought the understanding on a whole nother level that they didn't have during the time of Moses.
Exactly.
So the way Christ is supposed to be exalted in the world is he's not being exalted. And when we really check this scripture out and we go into other scriptures in the New Testament, it shows us that Christ is the one that's going to bring forth the understanding of the Bible. So if we're not dealing with that spirit, then we're going to be lost in the Bible. We're going to be teaching the Bible according to our own understanding. And that's what it's going to come out with. It's going to show us that as we read on.
Verse 12, and the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned.
So we have a man that's learned, he can't understand the Bible. A man that's not well learned, he reads it, he can't understand it.
So who can understand it? Verse 13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men.
See, so being that they don't have the understanding,
mm-hmm.
so the fear of the Most High is being taught by the precepts of men. I mean, they're teaching things that's not really of the Spirit. You know
exactly.
what I'm saying? It's not really of the Spirit. Because why? Because they don't really understand. And those that may have some understanding aren't really dealing with the Scriptures because they're denying Christ because they're going after their own lusts. They're going after money. They're bringing forth a money doctrine about it's about money. And you got the Roman Catholic Church. They're bringing forth a doctrine about, which is really a sun god worship doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
And they telling the people to bow down to statues, bow down to idols. Is that of the Lord?
No, worshiping the so-called saint days and all these other things. It's crazy, man.
Yeah. Then you have men exalting men and putting men up and making this thing a military thing.
Mm-hmm.
All these things is not going according to the doctrine of Christ. It's not going according to the doctrine of Christ. Let's get another scripture now. Get Isaiah 60 for me.
All right. Isaiah chapter 60.
Start at verse 1.
Verse 1, and it reads, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee."
So when it talks about those darkness cover the earth, it shows you that the book is sealed. People are in darkness. People don't understand.
Exactly.
But when it talks about the glory of the light shall be seen, so the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon thee, meaning the Lord is going to bring us up out of that darkness. But we have to be dealing with the Lord. We have to be dealing with the Spirit of the Lord in order to be brought out of that darkness. Because
mm-hmm.
when we go into the New Testament, it tells us that Christ is the one that's going to open up our minds to understand the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just anybody. You know?
Want to read
that in Revelations, or you have something to go?
No, we come on, man. We can go ahead.
Yeah, let's read that in Revelations, the 12th chapter.
I'm going to wait. Don't worry about it. You good.
Yeah, we're going to bring out a couple of Scriptures just to prove that Christ is the one that's bringing forth the understanding. And for us to have that understanding, we have to be in Christ. Or else, you know, we're not going to get the proper understanding. And also the Scripture shows us that, hold on, I don't want to jump ahead of myself. I'm going
to... All right. Something else. Thank
now, hold on. I called out the wrong Scripture, man. But,
oh, I'm sorry.
What's that? Revelation 5, right?
About the...
Yeah, the seal. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Revelation 5, verse, start verse 1 or something like that?
Let's do like we did before. 1 all straight down to 5. All
right, cool. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals."
It's the same book we're talking about in, what we read Isaiah 29, talking about the Bible. The Bible was sealed.
Mm-hmm. "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book."
So, out of the whole earth, nobody in this earth was able to read it. Because when we read in Isaiah 29, it talks about it was delivered to the wise. They couldn't open it. It was delivered to the ones that wasn't learned. They couldn't open it. So the Scripture said nobody on the earth or under the earth was found able to reveal the understanding of the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
So the angel wept much because look at the condition of the earth. The earth needs the understanding of the understanding to come out in order to deal with all the problems we have on this earth. Even when we look at right now, we got Roman Catholic Church, the biggest church in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Is the killings and the murderings and everything going on stop? Do the people understand that the answer to the problem is in the Scriptures? No, they don't understand that.
No, they don't understand.
We have people in the political world that are Roman Catholic, that are bishops, Baptists, and things like that. When you hear them talk about how to deal with the situations that's going on in the world, what do they bring out? They don't bring out the Scriptures. What they bring out? Midnight basketball, opening up these things, open up this activity over here for children, marching. You have, matter of fact, for crying out loud, you got reverend people that call themselves
reverends,
leading marches.
And no one's teaching to repent.
Yeah, they lead marches in the neighborhoods about stopping the violence, but they're not bringing out one scripture because they don't even understand that the doctrine of Christ is what's going to heal the earth. It's what's supposed to bring forth the peace.
Mm-hmm. Them so-called reverends and leaders of the so-called black movement and black people out there, they need to stop the violence. The so-called leaders, because they're the one bringing more violence to the neighborhoods because they're not teaching them to repent of their violence. All they doing is making money and picking up fame behind that movement, but they themselves need to stop the violence.
Matter of fact, I was young. I grew up in my mom used to take me to church all the time. When I was going to church, I never learned the commandments of the Most High about how to deal with people. I never learned about fornication, the true understanding of what fornication is, and all that. You know, they didn't do that. Dancing and singing songs and people falling out talking about they had the Holy Spirit ghost and speaking and gibberish.
Mm-hmm.
There was no true understanding coming out. They was making it into a fairy tale and man-made doctrine and Easter celebration and dinners and lunches and things of that nature. It was like a big club, a social club.
Mm-hmm. They're giving out hams in the church, brother. Mm-hmm. Giving out hams. In the church of so-called God on Easter Resurrection Sunday.
Yeah.
Just more wickedness when you study all that. This is what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. All right, read on that for you.
Yeah.
Verse 5?
I'm going to read verse 4 again. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, have prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.
So the scripture is telling us that nobody was able to bring forth that understanding, but the understanding was being brought forth through Christ. Now the scripture is saying it. We're going to show you happening. We're going to show you a scripture too that shows it actually taking place in Luke. Let's go to Luke 24. Luke the 24th chapter, and we're going to read verse 44 and 45 to show that actually took place.
All right, Luke chapter 24, verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me.
So he's saying everything that was in this book that was sealed, the Bible, was to be fulfilled concerning him.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't even understand that a lot of the things that were contained in the Bible is all about Christ. Even when you go back into the laws of the high holy days was about Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The laws of the Passover, the scriptures in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, tells us that Christ is the Passover.
Exactly.
Did they understand that during the time of Moses? Did they understand that even during the time of Isaiah?
No, they don't understand that. Only a few of those prophets understood that.
Only a few prophets, because that information was sealed from the people.
Yeah, and some of the people, you read the scriptures, one or two of them might have picked the understanding up, but they ain't really understand, man.
And even to this day.
Yeah.
Even to this day, people that teach Christ don't understand, don't truly understand that Christ is the Passover.
Heck no, they don't understand it. That's why they're celebrating this freaking Resurrection Day stuff, man. How wicked that day is, man. Once they start reading it, it really ticks you off, man, because they're teaching our children this in the schools, and we got constantly, when they come home, keep teaching them the Word of God so they don't get caught up in running around painting eggs and hiding eggs, finding eggs. Yo, it ticks me off, man. You know what I'm saying? Coming home, want to paint eggs and all, man, what? You know, so you got to constantly teach them. That's not nothing but going into the god and goddess or whatever, a star or whatever, and teaching the worship of what? The queen of heaven. That's all that stuff is going into, man. Right back to the worship of the sun and all that combination. And, you know, and these people don't understand, man.
Yeah. Why do they not understand that something that simple is not dealing with Christ? That's why the scriptures tell us clearly that another Christ going to come. So you have, it's very clear to see where the true Christ is and where the false Christ is dealing with, but you have to be dealing with that spirit.
Now, where the heck is it written
to go hide an egg, go find an egg, and got anything to do with Christ? And where is it written that on Sunday that they say that he was resurrected on that Sunday, right? And that now this is the day that we're supposed to honor, Resurrection Day. Where is that written at in the Bible? But yet they promote it. But yet they say they of Christ. That's why we're going into what we're going to. Is Christ divided? We know he ain't. But heck yeah, he's divided out there because they're teaching all this madness about eggs and got nothing to do with Jesus Christ, man.
It's obvious that the understanding is they don't have the understanding. But let's read that last verse again.
Yeah, we're going to read. I'll read 44 and 45 again. Luke 24 and 44. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures."
So Christ is the one that opened that understanding for them to understand the scriptures.
Yeah.
The Pharisees didn't have that understanding because Christ is the one that's going to open that understanding. Not anybody's just going to read the book and have the understanding. I want to go to another one that explains that, but it uses a different word. I want this word to come out. John's 20 and 21, verse 21 and verse 22. They're saying the same thing, but it uses a different word, and I want people to see this word that it used.
St. John 20, you're saying?
Yeah. St. John's the 20th chapter.
Verse 21.
And 22, yeah.
21 and 22.
Yeah.
All right. And it reads, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost."
So that's what's going to give them the understanding of the scriptures was the Holy Spirit. And that particular time, they received a certain portion of the Holy Spirit, but he promised them that they will receive more of it. And I want to bring out a point on that, if it's all right with you. I know you got a couple points you want to bring out.
Yeah.
But let me bring out St. John's 14 real quick, the 14th chapter. Because he speaks more of that Holy Spirit that's going to bring forth that understanding of the scriptures. And there's something I want to bring out about that. Read St. John's 14, start at verse 15.
St. John 14, 15. "If ye love me, keep my commandments."
No, that's... We can't pass that through too fast because there's a whole world out there that's saying they love Christ, but yet they don't want to deal with the Sabbath day.
Mm-hmm.
They want to eat unclean foods. They want to deal with the biblical high holy days, which are commanded through, you know, commandments of the Father.
Because
Christ's commandments is the commandments of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said he don't speak his own words, but the Father's. So we supposed to keep the commandments. You know what I'm saying? He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So how are we going to say we're going to love Christ and we don't keep the Sabbath? We don't keep his high holy days? We don't deal with the examples that he showed us about how we're supposed to love one another?
Mm-hmm.
How we're supposed to deal, not deal with the works of the flesh? You know, there's so many, you know, when you get deep into even the Ten Commandments, you'll see that people are not even dealing with that. Even like what it talks about, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain," which means in lies. People are dealing with all kind of lies and saying they are Christians,
mm-hmm.
they're born again, they're saved, and things of that nature. So what Christ are they dealing with? Because that's not the Christ of the Bible.
It's funny because it's real sad, really. Because in Christianity, they make you fall in love with words a lot, you know. Just like a woman that's gullible and naive out here, a man says they love you and buy you flowers and cheat on you all day. You know what I'm saying? Does he really love you? You know what I'm saying? You know, he's just selling you dreams and lies. And a lot of people see it, that he's not faithful to you. A lot of people see that his word is not bond, but yet you're so gullible and naive, you just believe whatever he says. And this is what's happening in the doctrine of Christ being divided out there, because they themselves keep screaming, "Oh, I love me Jesus Christ, and I love Jesus, you know, and I'm covered by the blood of Jesus, and oh, I love some Jesus, and all that stuff," but yet They're not following nothing that Jesus is telling you to follow.
Yeah.
But with your mouth, you keep saying, I love you. You know, and I want to go to the scripture on that after we finish, and just to bring it out some more. Because you just can't scream, I love you, and yet keep committing the acts that you're committing.
Mm-hmm.
So read verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that ye may abide, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
All right, so he said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and he's going to send you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth, which is talking about the same thing, that Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to get more of the Holy Spirit. They're going to be filled with more of understanding, because it said it shall guide you through all truth, right? Did it say that yet? I gotta read.
No, he said,
it's gonna bring that out. But it says the world cannot receive him because he don't know him, because the world don't know him, because the world don't know what how to serve the Most High. The understanding of how to serve the Most High is in the Scriptures, and it's being given through Christ. So the world don't know that. The world don't know him because they don't know how to serve him. They think that Easter's serving him.
Yeah, and they really truly believe that. A lot of them.
They think that. Oh, I'm an Israelite. That's serving them.
Mm-hmm.
Just being an Israelite ain't serving the Most High.
Because you have a lot of these Jews out here that's being taught that just being a Jew is enough. I'm from that bloodline. I'm straight. I'm going to make it to the heavens. I'm going to have eternal life regardless because I'm from that seed. Where is that scripture at?
Mm-hmm. Jump down to verse 26.
Verse 26 reads, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you.
So that's how we're going to get that understanding, because the book is sealed,
mm-hmm.
right? But Christ is the one that's bringing forth the understanding, so he's the one that's going to pray the Father to give us that spirit. If we love him and we're doing the things that's required, we're going to get more and more understanding. And it's going to guide us through all truth. That's why it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Mm-hmm. And there's something else that Spirit's going to do. Read verse chapter 15 and verse 26.
Chapter 15 and verse 26.
Yeah, there's two parts to mention this. I want to read both parts, and I'm going to give it back to you.
But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me.
So that Spirit, if you're saying you're dealing with the Spirit, you're supposed to be talking about Christ, testifying of Christ. And what else are you supposed to do about Christ? Read one more, and I'm giving it back to you. Chapter 16, verse 13 and 14.
Chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come.
And verse 14?
He shall glorify me.
So that's the part I wanted. He shall glorify Christ. So when we look at that, shall glorify Christ, is really Christ being glorified in this world? Is Christ really being glorified? So, well, basically, like we were saying earlier about the understanding of the Passover, does the world understand that the Passover is about Christ?
No, they don't.
Does the world understand that the sacrificial lamb is about Christ?
No, they don't.
That the blood on the door is about Christ? That the Day of Atonement is about Christ? That everything that we read about in the scriptures is all about Christ?
No.
Is he being glorified on that level?
No, he's not.
No, he's not. So what Christ are they really dealing with? And what spirit is really coming forth out there?
The spirit of Satan. And it's another spirit, and it's not the Holy Spirit.
Right. Because if it's of the Holy Spirit, it's supposed to be exalting Christ, not exalting man and the doctrine of men, because that's what we see going on out in the world, the doctrine of men being exalted. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, man, it was so much stuff. everything you were saying that I got sidetracked. I started looking at other stuff. What was that scripture a little while ago that I read? I said I wanted to add to it.
When we was back in St. John's 14, and if you
look at my commandments. We'll go to, my mind is all over the place. Go to 2 Timothy then. You know, we go to that all the time when talking about this. 2 Timothy chapter 2. All right. Wow, my Bible, I've been using it so much. I think
it's almost time for a break. You want to break first?
Actually, you know what? Yeah, let's take a break before we move on. That's a good idea. Time flying.
All right, brothers and sisters, we'll be right back. I'll take a quick promo.
If we can get to it.
The Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. Listen to our archive broadcasts or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe, take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it is time to awake on Thursday at 8 o'clock p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom. Connect with the Body of Christ Church on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. You can like our Facebook page at facebook.com/theBOCC. Follow us on Twitter at theBOCC. And view our videos on youtube.com/theBOCC1. Link with us to learn more about repentance and salvation according to the Holy Bible. Remember what Christ said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." We pray that the information on our pages guide you towards true repentance to the Heavenly Father in the name of Christ. Shalom.
A lot of people are saying that they deal with Christ, but their actions speak otherwise. That's basically what we're going to go into right now to add more to what we were bringing out in the first half of the show, because anyone that didn't tune in for the first half, basically we're just going into showing you that is Christ divided? And according to the scriptures, we know Christ isn't divided. There's only one Christ. All right. Matter of fact, let's go to that scripture real quick before we continue.
First Corinthians, first chapter.
Read that first, and then we're
gonna start it.
Yeah. First Corinthians 1:13.
Okay. Yeah, we should originally start off with that. We just went into a different direction.
Start verse 12 like we did before anyway. Start verse 12.
I thought you were going to start
10. No. Nah, because we're going to be breaking some other stuff down.
All right, 1 Corinthians 1 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
Now this I say, that every one of you said, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ.
I'm glad we read that first, because there's so many different avenues. That's why I think we ought to do, you know, another part or whatever to this, because there's so many things that's popping in my head and so many scriptures all at once that I'm thinking of. But for the most part, I want to stick with what we're reading right here about Paul and Apollos and Cephas, and then he's talking about Christ. We know Cephas is going to Peter. All right, and then we got Apollos. He was a mighty man in the scriptures as well. And then we got Paul, and a lot of people know, you know, the mission of Paul and the things that he has done, you know. But at the same time, they were all following Christ. You know what I mean? You want to say?
Yeah. Well, the thing about this, too, when you look at these, the men that it used, these were powerful brothers.
Mm-hmm.
We got Peter, which was one of the head apostle. That walked with Christ, you know. We got Apollos, which was a very powerful brother that the scriptures talk about.
Mighty in the scriptures,
yeah.
Man.
Mighty in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And we got Paul. We read about Paul's great works in the scriptures.
Uh-huh.
You know, the Holy Spirit was definitely dealing with him. You know, these are all men that the Spirit was definitely dealing with.
Exactly.
You know, according to scriptures. And people was glorifying these men and putting them up on a pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
When the one that was supposed to be getting all the glory
is Christ.
Is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And now we got men in this world that don't even fit these guys' shoes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And a lot of them aren't even bringing forth the doctrine of Christ that's being exalted. So it's something that this scripture is really making a very heavy, heavy point.
Yeah, there's a lot of different angles in the scripture. You know, but for the first part, that's what we need to focus on. The first part of what you brought out is what we need to focus on, because why? Before we even move on to talking about people that are outside the true doctrine of Christ that are teaching the false doctrine, mm-hmm. Let's first look upon those in Christ that is teaching the doctrine. The reason why I say that, because you can easily be distracted and have disciples unto you. You could easily be used as one of Satan's devices if you don't actually stay grounded in Christ, like Paul did, Apollos did, Peter did. If you didn't stay grounded, you could have your own movement.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? And the spirit of Satan could take over your mind, and then all of a sudden, bow, you got a congregation of millions. You got all this money coming in. You got all this power. Because this is what happens to men. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. But the world, as carnal as we are, and as lack of understanding, if I will, and the lust, and like we said about being drunk with the wine, which is going to, we're really talking about being drunk off your lust. You know what I'm saying? We tend to, like, honor man and glorify them more than glorify the Most High God and His Son, Jesus Christ.
Because, yeah. You know, to add to the point, because even when you go back to ancient Israel.
Exactly.
When the Most High set up Moses, mm-hmm. And then later on he set up the priesthood. What the priesthood was doing was that the priesthood was a mediator between God and the people.
Mm-hmm.
So when the high priest went into the temple, who are they dealing with? You know, who was really the king at that time? The king at that time was Christ, because it talks about Christ coming down into the temple between the two cherubims. But the people said, we want a king.
Exactly.
So what did God tell the priest? He said, look, they didn't reject you, but it's me that they reject. Because the priest was getting all his marching orders was coming directly from the Most High. You know, it was coming directly from the Most High, or if you would have Christ was giving them That's where the orders, the marching orders was coming from. But the people said, no, we want a king. So now we bring it down to Christ coming and being exalted as our king. People are still trying to take men and put them up. And at this time, in this particular scriptures, we have righteous men. But then now in our days, you know, we have men that's not even dealing with scriptures, or men that's going off from the examples of Christ that people are putting there. When Christ tells us in the scriptures that he will give us that spirit, if we love him and keep his commandments, he will give us that spirit to deal with him and deal with the Most High ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But people are still looking for men to hold them by the hands and guide them. And what's happening now is you have a lot of wicked men, as the scriptures prophesize, of false Christ rising up, and people are looking to them instead of dealing with the scriptures and dealing with Christ and the examples he's shown us in the scriptures about repenting and putting on that image of Christ.
Yeah, and that's real sad, because that is true. A lot of people want a king, like the brother brought out. And that was one of the points that I also wanted to add to, because that's why even in this so-called world as we know it in America, they want this President Obama, you know what I mean, to be king over them and think that he is our savior for the so-called black race or the minorities or whatever or what have you. But little do they know, it don't all work that way. You know what I'm saying? Because why? Is he glorifying the Most High God? Is Obama following the laws of the Most High God?
Absolutely not.
All right. So he is not our savior. And he is not going to deliver us from what the so-called minorities are going through in this world today. And why are we going through what we're going through today? And why are we why are our neighborhoods the way they are? Why are drugs being sold in our neighborhoods? Why are people being murdered in our neighborhoods? Why? Because we are not keeping the laws of the Most High. Why is judgment coming upon us? Why are these things happening to us? Because we are not turning back to the Most High God. And Obama can't save you. Obama, that change he talking about ain't the change according to the scriptures. You understand? Because God is trying to tell us we have a king. You know what I'm saying? We have someone to look to as our king. And he is the king of the Jews. And he is our savior. And we have to follow his way and his word. Not the so-called political race and voting, and it's going to be a change and all. That's a whole bunch of madness. Because we have to find the scriptures, and that's going to give us eternal life. The hell with a write-off on your taxes. The hell with the Obama bills and all these other things that might improve your so-called living in this so-called poor-ass condition that we in. You know what I'm saying? The Most High God showed us a way how to be delivered, brother. And it ain't through the plans that he's hooking up Obama in the office. But the whole world is in love with that so-called black man in the office of being a president. It ain't about that. It's so much bigger than having a black man in the White House. We want to make it into eternal life, brother. So in order for us to enter, we have to find the scriptures, and they're going to guide us and they're going to bring us. You know what I mean? And that's the bottom line.
More on that. I'm going to read that again.
Read that.
1 Corinthians 1 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
Now this I say, that every one of you said, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ.
Read on.
Is Christ divided?
See, and that's the question. Is Christ divided? Keep going.
Yeah, because just add a little on that, because who are we supposed to be following again?
Christ.
So what are you talking about? You of Paul, you of this person, you of that person.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the leader again?
Christ.
Period. Mm-hmm. There ain't no president. There's no politician.
That's right.
There's no man, no pastor.
Ain't no T.D. Jakes. Ain't no Creflo Dollar. Ain't no Joyce Myers. Ain't none of that madness, man. Read on. Just read. All right. Uh-huh.
Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you?
Was T.D. Jakes crucified for you? You understand what I'm saying? Was that so-called madman that called himself the comforter of the black Hebrew Israelite, was he crucified for you? You understand what I'm saying? And this is what he's trying to bring out.
That's, you know what? That's a heavy cut there.
Yeah.
I don't know if people really see what Paul is saying there, because that's, He just chopped them up with that, man.
Yeah, because even he put himself in the mix. Because please read 13 all the way through one more time. You got to read it.
Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?
Was you baptized in the name of Paul? Paul put himself in the mix just to try to explain. What is he trying to explain here? Because people is honoring man over what we supposed to be honoring. You understand what I'm saying? But people want to honor that so-called man and give him all that glory and fall in awe and fall in love with him, be enticed by his words, but not by the words of the Most High God. And that's the key point. And a lot of people is receiving all this glory, all this honor, and it gets to their head, and they take it somewhere else, brother. They're going to take it somewhere else.
Go. I got to read on this. To back that up right there.
Just, I want you to read something for me, though, before you go to that. Right where we're at, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. All right. Read verse, you know what? Start at verse 1, man. Start at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. Read that.
And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with an excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God.
Because a lot of people are coming with these enticing words, brother. A lot of people are coming with words of wisdom, making it sound like they above all the wisdom of the earth, and you know what I mean? And coming with the foolishness of this world, which has nothing to do with Christ. But we're going to read on. Bring it out.
This is 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified.
I mean, the hell with everything else in this world. The hell with their doctrine. The hell with their Christmas. The hell with their Easter, their Thanksgiving. The hell with the way they serve their God. The hell with their presidency. The hell with their movement. The hell with the government, the way it's set up. The hell with all that, brother. Because their movement ain't nothing, and what they believe in ain't nothing. The wisdom of this world ain't nothing and can't be compared with the wisdom of the Most High God. I don't know nothing else but the doctrine, and I don't know nothing else but the movement of Christ. The hell with any other movement out here.
You know what's heavy about that, too, because we had a young brother in Sabbath service. He said he was dealing with his pops with the gospel. And first, mm-hmm. his pops was asking him, well, what y'all do to feed the poor,
yeah.
You know, what y'all doing to educate this, what y'all doing about this and that situation in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. The information of repentance in Christ is the answer to all those problems. Well, the scripture said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and mm-hmm. all these things shall be added unto you.
No doubt.
So you act like the teaching of Christ crucified and repentance in the name of Christ is like some inferior doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
There's no greater thing you could come with.
There's no greater thing. The power is unbelievable, man.
Because all these, wait a minute, how many people you got out there try to feed people and try to open up midnight basketball and all this stuff? He asking us, is that what we doing? How many people you got doing that? What's going on in midnight basketball? How many kids got shot? Is that stopping the gang movement?
None of that.
The understanding we need is how to deal with one another.
Because these churches, a lot of these churches and these movements always talk about charity, charity, charity. And they always talk about donate. And they always talk about, you know, in order to get this pamphlet, you got to donate this money. In order to get this series on what we're teaching, you got to donate this money. Oh, donate this money. We're going to give it to the Jews. Because if we give it to the Jews, we're going to be blessed. You know what I'm saying? So keep giving to us, and we're going to give to the Jews. And it's always some – why it always got to be about some darn money? Give your tithes, your 10%. If you give this offering, you're going to be blessed by God. If you keep giving, 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 you're going to buy your way into the kingdom of heaven doctrine. I mean, but they have their own agenda, brother. You know what I'm saying? And people don't realize that this is not how you're going to enter into the kingdom. So you can't be fooled by their speech. You can't be fooled by their movement. You can't be fooled by the goosebumps that's on your neck when they speak. You can't be moved by that. But if you read the scriptures and you move and get them goosebumps and you feeling good, then that's all good and dandy. But if you being moved by a whole nother spirit and it ain't adding up to what the scriptures are saying, you need to check yourself. Mm-hmm. You need to check the scriptures and examine them.
Let me ask some of this and we'll come right back to it real quick.
Uh-huh.
Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 and 20.
1 Corinthians 6 and 19. And it reads, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's."
So ye are bought with a price. What's that price we're bought with?
Jesus Christ dying,
being crucified. The crucifixion, yep. Christ is the price we are bought with.
His blood was shed for us.
It wasn't Paul's blood shed.
Mm-mm.
It wasn't Nathaniel Seven's bloodshed.
No.
It wasn't Taha or Crafro Dollar or T.D. Jakes' bloodshed.
It sure wasn't.
It was our Lord and Savior Christ's blood that was shed to give us a chance to follow him.
And time out. It wasn't Hashi Yud's bloodshed.
Exactly.
It wasn't Dawa Yud's bloodshed. You understand? Because a lot of people might look up to us. Who knows?
Yeah.
We don't know who, you know what I'm saying? But are we measuring up to what the scripture is saying? Just like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So I'm saying the same thing. Follow Dawa Yud as I follow Christ.
Which what Paul really was saying is follow Christ like I'm following Christ.
Exactly.
He wasn't telling you to follow him. He's telling you to follow Christ like he's following Christ.
Exactly. Exactly, yeah.
And that's where a lot of people got it twisted, man, because we were bought with a price.
Mm-hmm.
We that are in Christ, we don't even belong to ourselves. So how are we going to take ourselves and submit it to another man?
Mm-hmm.
We belong to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want. You want to go back to where you was at?
Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, read verse 4.
Okay.
No, did we read verse 3 yet? Read verse 3. All
right, verse 3.
No, since you read that, what you read, read verse 2. I'm sorry, y'all. Keep moving up. Read verse 2.
"I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified."
So add into what you just said, because that's what it adds to the scripture. His blood was shed for us. He was crucified. This is what we understand we've been bought with. We've been bought with that price. So now the shedding of his blood is what we honor, and that's how we're forgiven for our sins,
mm-hmm.
to get back in line with the doctrine and follow it.
Mm-hmm.
This is how we got a chance to get into eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
Through the veil, as the scriptures say.
And there's even more, you know, because, you know, like the scripture says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because that Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Christ, is what's going to guide us
mm-hmm.
in understanding, you know, in through all understanding of the scriptures. And that understanding is the following of Christ, you know, us following Christ. That's why, man, when we read that scripture about the Holy Spirit, where it says, "shall glorify him," this Bible, when you really get into understanding Christ, is all about the Lord and Savior Christ. You know, we really got to push that and bring that understanding forward, because we do not see that understanding coming out in the world.
No, it's not about Christ. They keep using the word Christ,
yeah.
but it's not about Christ. That's why the image is of a false Christ. The following is of a false Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And they're being gullible and naive, and just when they hear the word Christ, they just melt. Oh, and they just get right into it. You know what I'm saying? No, it's more than just saying the word Jesus Christ. Just like the scriptures say, you can say Lord, Lord all you want. And just like these churches are screaming, you hear a lot of them jumping and hooping and hollering, screaming, "Lord, Lord, 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 my Savior, oh Lord, Lord, my..." Yeah, and all that. That's not going to do nothing. That's not going to do nothing in time of judgment. That's not going to do nothing. You know what I'm saying? We have to follow the Lord. This is something we said a minute ago, and I want to make sure that it's understood according to scriptures. You don't have to go to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. This is Paul speaking. "Be ye followers of me." He's saying be ye follower of him, of Paul. But who's Paul following? "Even as I also am of Christ." Meaning I'm a follower of Christ. So I'm following Christ, follow me as I follow Christ. And that's what we're trying to teach, and that's what we're trying to promote, because what it is we can't be hypocrites. Yes, We're going to slip. We're going to fall. We're going to make mistakes. But the whole thing is we have to get up, get on track, and we can't keep making these same mistakes. We got to overcome them and be a follower of Christ, brother. And this is something that we have to do. There is no negotiating. We have to follow Christ, you know, and this is what we're supposed to do, especially as being a teacher in Christ. You know what I mean? We have to really make sure and be watchful of what we say, what we do, and how we move. You know what I mean? So go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and this is what Paul was trying to teach. And read verse 4. No, 3, I'm sorry.
And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling.
Mm-hmm.
And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of power.
Keep going, though.
That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Do you know how powerful these words are we're reading right now? Are you really taking this in? Because a lot of people really don't understand. A lot of you guys really don't realize that you are smarter than your pastor, for real. Because when you read the scriptures, they're not smart at all. They're not really following the doctrine and the power of God. You understand what I'm saying? It's in verse 4, it says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom," right? "But in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So our walk has got to be in these scriptures. That's the power, brother. Remember, we did a show before we got the power,
yeah,
right? And what is the power? The power is the scriptures. The power is the Holy Spirit, which is coming from the Most High God and his Son, Jesus Christ. If it doesn't add up to what we're reading and we can't prove it, then there is no power. Not of God. Your power is of man, and your wisdom is coming of man. Check this out. If we keep reiterating, we keep saying it, but Easter, brother, Easter, is that the power of God?
Easter has nothing to do with God.
So when we look here, it says it should not stand in the wisdom of man.
Yeah, that's the wisdom of man.
Yeah, because we know that Satan is giving it to man to give to you. It's not coming from the power of God. It's coming from the power of Satan. That's why scriptures are saying that. Where does it say? Because we go all the way back in the time of the time of Nimrod. We go all the way back in that time where that movement of the Tower of Babel. They was already keeping those days, brother. They was already keeping Easter back in that time. The same way they keeping it today, except now they putting Christ's name up there. So if they do their research, they're going to see that's the goddess of star, and they're going to see that's going back to the queen of heaven, and they're going to see that it's all the same thing. Even when you go into the New Testament, where they go into Diana, remember the queen of heaven, and how they worship her. It's all the same customs, it's all the same thing, but they just put a little different spin on it, but it's all the same thing. When you go into today's time with the queen of heaven and the Roman Catholic movement with Mary the queen of heaven, they worshiping Mary more than Jesus Christ. They're giving her this honor. It's going right back to the doctrine. It's going right back to the mix of the Queen of Heaven. There's so many different shapes and forms of man doctrine, of man movement, and the power of Satan, and they just put Christ's name up there. So then you automatically, if you don't study, you're going to believe it. That's how heavy this is. You're going to believe it.
Let me get another scripture to add on to that.
Mm-hmm.
This is still in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 1st chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Let's read verse 4 and 5. You know, it adds on everything we've just been saying about, you know, Christ getting that glory.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. "I thank my God also on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ."
So even the grace that we have that grace through Christ, which goes back to him being the one that's been crucified for us. And verse 5?
"That in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge." Mm. That's heavy.
So in everything that we have, you know, it's not man that's giving us knowledge. That's something we have to understand. You may have a great teacher whom you feel is a great teacher. It's not him that's giving you knowledge. You know, even the knowledge that we have, we can't glory in our knowledge and walk around with our chest puffed out, because we received it from Christ. So all glory be to Christ. It's not our glory.
It's not our knowledge. And that goes for any man that's teaching the doctrine of Christ. So nobody should be glorying in men, because anything that you understand in the gospel is given to you of Christ. That's what we have to understand, because the scriptures tell us that we are all being taught of God. We are being taught from Christ. He's given us that spirit. He's given us understanding. He's unsealed the book,
mm-hmm.
so that we may receive understanding. And if it wasn't for him, we would know nothing.
Exactly.
We have to understand that.
Exactly. Yeah, I got to bring this scripture out to add, because we got to stick with, we're going to definitely do another part, because there's so many things I want to bring out. But I want to stay with Jesus Christ as far as giving him his honor. Go to 1 Peter's. Go to 1 Peter's chapter 1. I want to stick with that for a minute, because we don't get to really talk about him enough and give him his honor and his due. You know what I'm saying? And we need to stick with that, because without him, there would be no us. We would be gone, brother. We'd be all done. We'd be all set.
We'd be turned to Sodom and be like Gomorrah.
Yeah, so we got to understand. That's why it really ticks me off that these fake Jews out there is screaming that he was just a regular prophet. You know what I'm saying? Jesus Christ was no freaking regular prophet, man. He was the one. Yeah. But he was the one, and he is the one. They'll look at the movie like Matrix and look at this dude being the one in the movie Matrix. Oh, he's the one. No, Jesus Christ is the one, man. He died for you. He's the one. You've been bought with a price, with the shedding of his blood. He has to receive this honor. If you follow him, you're going to have eternal life. You don't know the level. All you watch is these movies. Like you know, you watch these movies and you see someone that might have eternal life. You might watch a movie, but you can't really fathom or understand what that is, because we die so young. When, you know, what's the life expectancy out here? Yeah, you might see every now and then someone 105 or 104, maybe 101 or whatever like that. But we're talking about forever and ever. You can't even understand that. How are you going to really compare that? Because you never lived it to understand it. But this is what we've been given through Jesus Christ. Give me 1 Peter 1 and 18. Start there.
First Peter 1 18.
Mm-hmm.
For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spots.
There's a lot going on in this scripture, right? because a lot of people out here that call themselves Christians and so-called supposed to be in the movement of Christ, it's always about money. You know what I mean? It's always about money, man. If you give to your pastor, you're going to make it into the kingdom. It ain't got nothing to do with no darn money. You're not going to be redeemed with money. You're not going to be saved by money. You know what I'm saying? It's by the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ how your soul is going to be saved, man.
There's a lot here, man. Because
there's a whole lot.
Because first of all, it's showing us that we were redeemed from a vain conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you really go into it, like the vain conversation, it's a received by tradition from your fathers. It's going to our character,
mm-hmm.
and the things we were doing. So obviously there's a change in us. There should be a change in us if we were in Christ, because it said we were redeemed from that.
Mm-hmm.
So the only reason that change came about where we're not doing the vain things we used to do, glory be to Christ. So if you're a man that's said that you are in Christ and you're doing the same thing you used to do, then the scripture doesn't apply to you, and obviously you're not in Christ. So if you are in Christ, you are supposed to be redeemed from the vain conversation that you had before you knew of Christ. You're not supposed to say, I'm in Christ now, and you're doing the same things that's contrary to the doctrines of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing they're showing us, you know. And it's letting us know that happened. The reason why we're not that vain person we used to do, the reason why we're no longer the fornicator we used to be, the reason why we're no longer the drug user we used to be, and all these things pertain to Satan and pertain to death.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why we're not in those vain things that we used to be partakers of, glory be to Christ, It's not a man, it's not nobody, but it's the Lord and Savior Christ that redeemed us from these things.
Mm-hmm. And even when you look at being redeemed also, we've been redeemed from the Old Testament too. You know what I mean? Like the Old Testament now going into that new.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, because the shedding of that blood has brought to another level.
A lot of people don't really understand.
But still, man, it's kind of deep. But I'm just saying, for those that have ears to hear, let them hear. You know what I'm saying? I'm just throwing it out there. You know what I'm saying? Eyes to see, let them see. But, you know, we're bringing it to another spiritual level of understanding that the Passover still exists today, brother. You know, it's a higher spiritual understanding. You know, the blood now on the doorpost, you know, people don't understand. Yeah, it's still there. It's covering us. But it's the spiritual blood of Jesus Christ that you don't see that is covering your house, because there's gonna be judgment that's gonna come on this earth, brother. And is that plague of death gonna pass through your door? Because the only way that death is not gonna enter your house, you gotta be covered by the blood of Jesus, brother.
You know what? Being that you said that, and we're still in 1 Corinthians,
mm-hmm.
the first chapter. I mean, 1
Peter,
the first chapter. Read verse 20.
No, we're gonna read verse 19.
All right. Ready? All right.
No, we didn't read 19. Did we?
Yeah, but...
let's read 19 and 20 together then.
But with the precious blood of Christ...
Oh, okay.
As of a lamb without blemish and without spots. Which brings us back...
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's why we said, man, that Christ has to be glorified.
That's right.
That brings us right back to what you were saying about the
mm-hmm.
Passover.
Mm-hmm.
Because the lamb that we had to get that was without blemish and without spots...
Mm-hmm.
It's really dealing with Christ.
It's always been about Christ.
They didn't understand that. They didn't understand it was sealed from them, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
But look at the next verse.
Verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you.
So before the foundation of the world, when the Father gave the laws of the Passover,
mm-hmm.
he knew
ahead of time
the Lamb was.
Yeah.
But now it's being made manifest to us in these days and times that, yo, that's what the Lamb really was. But a lot of people still don't know that.
Yeah.
A lot of people mm-hmm. that call themselves Christian don't keep the Passover. Mm-hmm. When Christ is the Passover.
Then you got a lot of Israelite groups out there that are still stuck.
On the Lamb.
On the Lamb, the physical Lamb, and got to cook it whole, or the booth, got to dwell in the booth, not really understanding. Where it's really bringing us to another level of understanding.
One brother was saying that, well, the reason why we don't do the Lamb the way we're supposed to do it because we don't have the resources right now, but in the
Come
kingdom,
on,
we're going to do the Lamb. We're going to have
on,
the
man.
Lamb and do it whole and all.
No, nah, man. Bro, you either do it or you can't. No, you're supposed
to
do exactly. Yeah.
That understanding wasn't given to you.
Nah, you don't understand, man. But that's the whole point of going to this, because we're gonna read a little bit further down anyway. The reason why this is all coming out like this, because a lot of people got to understand the honor of Jesus Christ. You know, the Passover is extremely important. He is that lamb. He is that lamb. This is the reason why we live today. This is the reason why we were forgiven for our sins today. And there's other things that came with that. You understand that people don't quite understand. So it's a lot.
That's why we brought up the point about mm-hmm. the book being sealed.
Yeah.
Even like we were saying, even back then, they didn't understand it. Even right now, a lot of people don't understand it. But when we turn to Christ, the understanding is supposed to be made known unto us.
That's right.
And that's what we're trying to show people. And hopefully, you know, the Most High will open up your minds to see it.
Yeah, I just want to add to it more because this is about Jesus Christ. And we're sticking with that because even the leaven and all that, back in that time, yeah, we were removing the leaven out of our home. The physical leaven, cardinally, physically, hands-on, tangible. And he had to show us that way to bring us spiritually, because is the leaven still being removed today? Yes, it is. So just like the scriptures say, I ain't come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill. So is the leaven being removed? Yes, it is. But it's a spiritual leaven now. Why? That hatred you have in your heart towards your wife, you got to remove it. All right? That fornication spirit you have on you to sleep with others, you have to remove it. You know, that stealing, that killing, that malice in your heart, you got to remove it. So you got to remove these things out of your home so it still exists. You know what I'm saying? It's still there, but it's in a different shape and form. That's on a higher level of understanding that you have to, you know, do in your home. Is that blood over your doorpost, is it still there? Yes, it is still there. It's the spiritual blood that's covering your door so that the death doesn't enter your home. Because in the time of judgment, death is coming, bro. Judgment is coming. Now, is it going to enter your home? Are you covered by the blood? because that lamb still got to cover you. See, in that time, you had to dip your hand. They had to do it. Remember, they had to get the blood of the lamb, but they also had to dip it in basin. And remember, I forgot what it was. I forgot. Hyssop and, or basin or whatever it was. And they had to dip it and put it over their door. Do we have to do that today? No. But in Christ, you're still covered by that blood because the shed of his blood is still sprinkled on us. You just don't see it.
It even brings us even to the baptism.
Yeah.
You know, he's the one cleansing us.
Exactly.
He's the baptism.
Exactly.
He's the atonement.
Exactly.
I mean, the list just goes on and on.
So now.
That's why the scripture tells that he is the word of God. His
mm-hmm.
name is called the word of God because everything goes right back to him.
So we don't give honor to that. So we're going to give honor to Easter, which is going to something totally different.
It has nothing to do with the word of God.
Nothing to do with. The true tabernacle is here, and it's been set up, and the honor is even on a higher level now than what it was in the Old Testament, and that's what we're trying to bring, or the Word of God's trying to bring, and we're trying to bring it. I understand, but it has to come out. The honor has to be given to Jesus Christ, man. All praises to the Son, man, for giving us a chance to live another day, man, and to exercise our right to walk in his name. You know, it's an honor. Read verse 21.
Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory.
And gave him what?
And gave him glory.
Because we got to give him glory. Even the Most High God made sure Christ received his glory, right?
Yeah.
We got to give him his glory. He did an awesome thing. What man can do that, brother? Mm-hmm. But Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Most High put him there for that glory.
Mm-hmm. Read on.
That your faith and hope might be in God.
Because it's all about the Most High God. But Jesus Christ is doing the works of the Most High God, and we're supposed to be all, the scriptures say that we all are the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we are all the sons of God. Read on.
Verse 22.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently.
Keep going, verse 23, and we're going to end.
Being born again,
mm-hmm.
not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
So stop there. So that's the whole key point, is that we got to be born again. But see, we only got a little bit of time, but it's just the point, because we're going to continue it next week. But honor is given to Jesus Christ. And in order for us to purify our souls, we have to obey the truth through the Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, and we have to obey it. That's how we're going to keep our souls purified. That means Christ had crucified for nothing. If you don't want to keep the works of Christ, we got to obey the words of Jesus Christ, not the words. That's why we can't obey. Is Christ divided? According to the world, yes, but according to the doctrine, no. We got to follow him. Don't fall in love with your pastor. Don't fall in love with the guy or whoever your spiritual advisor is. Fall in love in Christ that's in that individual.
You know the Christ that's divided is the false Christ.
Exactly.
The Christ where Christ said, many shall come in my name saying I am Christ and shall deceive many.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that's divided. Many.
Mm-hmm.
They go all going in different directions. But even like when you go back into Hosea where it talks about they shall appoint themselves one head and come out of the land.
Mm-hmm.
That one head is talking about the Lord and Savior Christ.
I want to read this one scripture to end it, man.
All right.
I'll read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, and we're going to end it with this. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. So examine yourself, because Christ is supposed to be in you. So find out what it is that's supposed to be in you according to the doctrine and follow it. All right, without that, you're not walking in Christ. You are walking in a false image and a false Christ, which is going into Satan. So examine yourself to see if you're of God and of Jesus Christ. So with that, we hope and we pray that the scriptures is edifying and given to you for repentance sake. And with that, we say shalom.
All right. Thank you for tuning in. And Lord's will, we'll be back with part two
mm-hmm.
Next week. So, thank you for tuning in, and Most High and Christ bless you.
Most High and Christ bless.
If you would like to contact us or learn more about the Body of Christ Church, You may do so by calling, emailing, or by visiting our website. Our telephone number is 1-877-871-1712. Our email address is bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Ureach is the letter U, followed by the word reach. So that's bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Our website, thedocc.com, contains our telephone number and email address, as well as audio and video biblical lessons and other information geared toward edification and repentance and good works. Again, our website address is thedocc.com, so please feel free to connect with us today.